put this out there. My TikTok got removed, or it got banned. I kind of instigated it. When I posted the information about Kyron Lacy and how it ties into the movie Him, along with Tyreek Hill, his numerology, and his injury, I put it all together in a pretty package. I didn't expect for that post to take off the way it did. I think it got up to almost 1 million views, and it was circulating. They tried to take it down twice, and I had to appeal, and I won the appeal, and they couldn't take it down. Now, I happened to be scrolling the other day, which is around what, Saturday or Sunday, one of those days, and I saw Philip Anthony Mitchell's post from his page, because I knew he had this big, I don't know what it is, a big convention for his church, and they did it in the basketball arena in Atlanta. I mean, he was promoting it for like a good 2 months. It was on October 12th. If you put that through numerology, it comes out to 33. So, you know, I couldn't resist. So I put up a post in the comment section, which is funny to me. It's the worst thing they could have ever done, was put up a comment section where you could use pictures downloaded from the internet. I went right to him, and I posted his mentor, and I posted him both doing the devil horns. And he tried to use a quote out of, I think, Yirmiyahu, where it says that, "You are called by my name. I am, you are mine." And I typed out that verse. It was about Israelites. And I said something else. I can't remember. But I always put a clown emoji, because that's what these people are to me, clowns. So when I tried to log back in, I lost all my credentials. And I tried to make an appeal. Sunday, nope, you violated the community guidelines, and your page is forever banned. So it ain't because I was saying anything slick. It was just because I was saying the truth. Even on TikTok now, that you can't even use the green screen, which is, they knew that when we started sharing the truth, this is how most of us communicated with our audience, by using that green screen. You don't even have it no more. If you downloaded the new version, or if you deleted the app and reloaded it, that green screen is gone. I mean, there's one green screen on there. I think it's like for videos, but it's not the same. It's not the same algorithm, and it's not the same creative tools for us to bring out the truth. And that's what they wanted. I knew that's what they wanted. I could tell by the videos that anytime I had too much information, or I used too much props to educate or edify my followers, it wouldn't go as far. But when I sit and talk about it without using props, without using pictures or symbolisms, if I don't use anything and just be bare in the video, it will go places. So that's where that video went, because I did it bare. I did it with no props. I just did a 3-minute video, which even made it more dangerous, because it's a short video. It's not a longer video where they know people are talking more to explain more, and that's what they don't want, especially out of truth pages. So, you know, I'm feeling some type of way about it. I could have been a little bit softer in my approach and sharing the truth, but I'm like, that's not even me. I could care less. I mean, I care, but I could care less to the point where I might have a whole fit about it. But it does bother me. It really does. Like, what are we supposed to do? Like, those who woke up and been instructed or been given a mission to either reach people or teach people, and you keep getting your audience, or you keep getting your legs cut from under you because you share the way you share. Like, I'm not about to cower to these people, or refrain myself for speaking, or sharing certain truths just because they can't handle it. Because that's all it takes is just people who watching you on your pages. And as soon as you put you something goes viral or something takes off, there's bots or it's people watching, shadowing your page, and they just hit that report button. Report, report, report. And then they, all of a sudden they try to take the post down and they got to put the post back up because they found nothing was wrong with it. But obviously, they didn't want that truth cutting getting out. I don't know why they're bothering my pages because I ain't the only one to be talking that real truth. There's pages that have been talking about Jews for like the last 5 or 6 months talking about Jews. And they rarely ever get their pages taken down or anything done to them. It must be because I'm only one closer to that platform that has a little bit more credibility than just anybody who's just talking, which is why they come after me, because I really don't have nothing to lose. Like, it's nothing they can take from me. That makes it even more dangerous. When you are in a position, or Yah puts you in a position where you really don't have nothing to lose as far as the world, you become a dangerous person. Like, there's a reason why they're allowing all of this Hitler talk, Nazi talk, Third Reich talk, even having his speeches being online. Before, you couldn't even post the KKK, even if you were using it for education purposes. But now you've been seeing Hitler's speech in English all over, either on X, on TikTok, or on Instagram. And they call him, quote unquote, the painter. So they don't have to use his name. But his speeches are all AI translated. There is a reason for this. So when they get a hold on everything, they have within their right and within their spiritual right, if you are somebody who is still in this world trying to teach the truth, but you're in the world, you are not really a threat to them, but you are food to them because they know they can get at you. When you are in these commandments and these statutes, that causes us to have a hedge about us that it's only going to frustrate them. They know they can't do nothing to us. Those days are long gone, trying to instill fear in us. They're not putting putting yokes of iron around our necks and fetters on our hands and feet anymore. They're not making threats about pulling us apart using horses in front of our women and our children. They're not taking our women, bringing them into the barn and do whatever they want with them and then rent them out to other field hands so they can keep making more super slaves. Those days are gone. So people who are sharing all this Hitler propaganda and all this to them, the anti-Semitic truth about their religion, they're just tracking it. And all they have to do is follow the IP addresses, follow the accounts, your emails, your numbers that are attached to these accounts. And all they got to do is open up on you. Track where you are, exploit you to your businesses, exploit you to your job. You lose your job because of it. I dropped my daughter off at school in the morning. I just happened to look up and saw a banner. And the banner was about Say No to Hate, which was sponsored by the ADL. I'm pretty sure you know that in West Coast, in California, they already about to fly the Israeli flag on school grounds, public school grounds. Mind you, they have their own Hebrew schools all around this country. So why are they going after public schools? I'm telling you, they're ready to clamp. If they can instill in your children about this whole anti-Semitism and not speaking out against them, that means the level above them, whether it be college, which is why they went after those professors during that time, college, and then the entry-level job positions. They already striking the drum with AI. They really don't need that many people anymore. So people are going to be losing their jobs just based off anti-Semitic laws that have already been implanted in the previous administration, and the previous administration before that, when Donald Trump became the president the first time. Then you have the Noahide laws. I'm telling you, they've been planning this forever. Ever since George Bush, not the second one, but the first one, kept talking about this new world order. That these Freemasons, these skull and bones, are all puppets of Zionism. Right now, they're terraforming. And where they have to terraform is in or on the internet. Once they do that, they go into the schools. They already had the laws in place. So imagine you losing your job the next day because you reblogged or retweeted or you liked or you commented on a post that talked about Israel. This is why I keep bringing up the verse in Baruch where it says, the wise will be but few and the intelligent will be few, but those who know most of all will remain quiet. It's because they're going to start taking away things based on what you say or think about Israel. And, you know, I don't know why people still, to this day, if you are a right-wing evangelical or a right-wing Christian or a Donald Trump Christian, I do not understand why you don't see it. It's only been 1 year of his presidency. And Israel has had a show. I'm talking about a show of telling everybody that they are the ones that run the United States government. A foreign nation, a foreign country runs or has a bigger influence than any other country or continent on this earth. That they have more sway, more pull of another government that supposedly wrote the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the Declaration of Independence, yet being owned and controlled by a foreign body that it never had to fight. I don't see how y'all could be like, yeah, I'm voting for Donald Trump, or I'm a Republican, or I'm a conservative, I'm a far right. I don't see it. I don't know why y'all get yourselves caught up into it. And then the whole Charlie Kirk situation, I mean, there's people who, it was a mass exodus of people who left my Instagram page, the To Larry Johnson 7 one, after I said, like, I don't really don't care about your religion or your race, but the truth is the truth. And you show them exactly what Charlie Kirk was and what his intention was on college campuses. People don't accept the truth because of this weird cognitive dissonance that lays on their foreheads like a veil, that they cannot see or understand the things that they worship. It made it seem like he brought attention to anything. Oh, there's a rise in Christianity. There's a rise in Bible sales. There's a rise in streaming of songs that are Christian songs. What is that supposed to mean? A Freemason had to get you into a religion to actually go into the word? That, where do you think that's going to go? Where do you think that's going to go? That for the people who own the platforms and know, that own these new agencies, why? When you know that they hate Christ or they hate the Messiah or hate his people, why do you think they'd be boasting and congratulating a religion that they deem hateful, that they deem that is idolatry? It is a trap that people do not see. Scriptures go on and on and on about not putting a man above the Most High Yah. At length, even idols of wood and stone. Yet, for some odd reason, Christians, Europeans do not get the message. I can understand why a lot of Israelites who are still harboring hatred and a grudge against Europeans, against white folk, when they say that there is no hope for the Gentile, I can understand where that comes from. Because I don't understand how people get mad at you for exposing a lie or exposing a ritual. Then they get so upset and just leave the conversation or unfollow you, not knowing that what the person is trying to expose to you is actually right. So you could clean up your soul, your ruach, to find y'all, to find a true purpose and not following after a ritual, a Masonic ritual at that, to ensnare you and entrap you so you'll be a stumbling block to yourself, because that's who's going to be the blame after this all goes down. It won't be them. You think Charlie Kirk's going to come out and say, oh, I'm sorry that I fooled you guys? No. You think Donald Trump's like, hey, I'm sorry I fooled you guys, this is what we are? No. Nobody's going to come out and apologize for what they've done to you, because they've been telling you from the point of them showing you the symbolism, the point of showing you the numerology, showing you the color programming, they've been showing you the entire time. The entire time they've been showing you. And then people have been telling you all around you, even if you weren't into conspiracies. But the algorithm is made in a such a way that once you like one conspiracy that's favorable to your side, then all the other conspiracies follow after it. So even if you ran away from it, you're still going to run into the truth. And to stick your head in the sand and be like, oh, no, and go, la, 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 I don't hear nothing, I don't hear nothing. That's where Proverbs 1:26 on down to Proverbs 30 ends up happening to a lot of people. I understand it. Because ain't no way in the world people really think that all they got to do is believe in Jesus and go to heaven and that's it, the bare minimum. The bare minimum. And really think that Charlie Kirk and President Trump and all these other politicians like Matt Gaetz and all them talking about being Christians is really going to set you up to receive the blessings and promises that have been talked about for the Israelites since the beginning of time. I don't see how you usurp that authority. Who gave you that authority? Who gave you that power to actually believe that a religion would have more sway over the nation of Yasharel and what they've been through? And a brother mentioned in the comment section of the previous episode about Larry Gators. Gators or Gaithers, whatever his name is. I posted one of his videos. I didn't think I had beef with this man. So when the brother brought it up to me, he said, oh, what do you think about him? I was like, some of the things he say is cool. Some of the things he says is eye-opening. And then I try to go onto his Instagram page from both of my pages. I'm blocked. I don't see how, because I don't have any beef with this man. I have never met this man. I never commented on his pages or nothing. I actually, like I said, I used one of his videos before on my Sight to the Blind page. But that goes to show you is that it's slim pickings out here. People are trying to make a platform. And when you try to build up a platform, you cannot have naysayers. You cannot have people who have nothing to lose go after your page, who are knowledgeable of what's going on. But this is why I got into it. I got into it to confront. I get upset when they be chopping off legs and won't let you confront the people you want to confront, which is most likely y'all's doing. Y'all know I like to take things way too far. I got into this for a war. I ain't even going to have the war that I want. Because like David said, he said the war, the battle is not mine, but his. So I got to be like a puppet like everybody else and just be put on the sidelines until that day he asks us to be that battle axe. But I'm going to get into what I was talking about when I referred to how we should be still in the face of disrespect and how we can liken how we deal with our wives, with our significant others, is the same way Yahuwah had to deal with the children of Yasharel. That's why he says we are metaphorically like a woman when he addresses us. He doesn't address us like a grown man or a young child. He addresses us like a woman. Because we have as a nation, as the 12 tribes, we have the emotions as a woman that we don't think for the long run. We think five steps in front of our faces. Our emotions are so easily swayed because we are fastened on things that are appealing to our eyes. So let me start off with Yirmiyahu 42, verses 2 through 19. And El Yirmiyahu, the prophet, let we beseech you, our supplication be accepted before you, and pray for us until Yahuwah, even for all this remnant, for we are left but a few of many, as your eyes do behold us. Now, this is when the nation of Yisrael are in captivity to the king of Babel. Yahuwah Elohaka may show us the way where we may walk and the thing that we may do. Then Yirmiyahu the prophet said unto them, I have heard you. Behold, I will pray unto El Yahuwah according to your words, and it shall come to pass that whatsoever thing Yahuwah shall answer you, I will declare it unto you. I will keep nothing back from you. So the Israelites are saying, look, can you go tell Yah that, hey, just be easy on us. Show us some grace. Show us some mercy. Tell us what you want us to do and we will do. All right? Mind you, that's what they said. They said, please tell Yah, we will do whatever you want us to do. So this is what Yahuwah said. Yahuwah, the Elohai of Yisrael, unto whom ye sent me to present your supplication before him, if ye will still abide in this land, then will I build you and not pull you down, and I will plant you and not pluck you up. For I repent of the evil that I have done unto you. So, like a father, he gave us a spanking, and he gave us one of those, it's hurting me more than it's hurting you type speeches. So Yah said, I'm repenting of the evil that I've done to you. Even though you have sinned and transgressed against me and broken my laws, I repent for the evil I have done to you. He's saying, if you stay in this land, if you stay in Babel, then I will build you and not pull you down. I will plant you and not pluck you up. So we can be successful in captivity under his power, following his rules, following his statutes. It doesn't matter where we are in our captivity. The Most High has shown that he can be merciful and graceful and blessing us abundantly, even when we do not deserve it, in order for us to dwell safely for his name's sake. If he wipes or eradicates us all out, then he doesn't have a nation to project and exalt his name. We already knee deep into the covenant. He's not going to pull out and be like, all right, I'm gonna choose another nation. Or I'm going to choose another people. He already had that talk with Moshe. And he didn't go through with it. So he stuck with us. Even when he didn't have to, he stuck with us. Be not afraid of the king of Babel, of whom ye are afraid. Be not afraid of him, says Yahuwah, for I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand. And I will show mercies unto you, that he may have mercy upon you and cause you to return to your own land. So this is the Most High telling you, look, if you just do this, just like husbands tell their wives, hey, if you do this, we will progress. We are blessed. We will be dwelling in safety and abundance if we do this the right way, so the hedge is not threatened. The Most High wants me to be the head of the household to run it this particular way. Now, if you don't do it the particular way, we're going to have strife. We're going to have conflict. But if ye say, we will not dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of Yahuwah Elohim, saying no, but we will go into the land of Mizraim, where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the shofar, nor have hunger or bread, and there will we dwell. Then it shall come to pass that the sword which ye feared shall overtake you there in the land of Mizraim, and the famine where you were afraid shall follow close after you there in Mizraim, and there ye shall die. The Most High set the boundaries of life and death before us. Now, we just said we will do whatever you want us to do. We just said that. But the Most High knows us. He knows how stiff-necked we are. He knows how we are easily swayed, either from fear or just whatever catches our eye. He knows the people he's dealing with. And I don't know why we are so attracted to Mizraim. None of us in scripture were like, all right, let's go back to Ashur, to the Assyrian captivity. Let's go back to the Grecian captivity. Let's go back to the Babylonian captivity. Why was Egypt for them such a place they needed to keep going to? It's almost like that today when you see Negroes, African Americans, thinking that they're invoking the god of Amun-Ra or Isis or Set or Nut. When they talk about this Kemet nonsense that they follow, this grand rising culture, this Hotep culture that they created in this country, knowing that they're not even nowhere related to the nation of Ham. Not that closely related. So it shall be with all the men that set their faces to go into Mizraim to sojourn there. They shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, and none of them shall remain or escape from the evil that I will bring upon them. For this says Yehoshua Sabaoth, the Elohai of Yasharel, as my anger and my fury has been poured forth upon the inhabitants of Yerushalayim, so shall my fury be poured forth upon you when ye shall enter in Mizraim, and ye shall be in exhortation and astonishment and a curse and a reproach, and ye shall see this place no more. Yahuwah has said concerning you, O ye remnant of Yehuda, go ye not into Mizraim. Know certainly that I have admonished you this day. So the Most High is simply laying it out. If you stay here, I will build you up. You will have nothing to fear if you just stay here for this season of captivity. I repented for the evil. I'm repenting for spanking your butt, for using the rod on you. I'm sorry. Do not go into Mizraim after I just saved you out of there decades or centuries ago. You don't need to go back in there. But if you go over there, I'm ascending the sword, the famine, the plague right on after you. So Yirmiyahu 44, 10 through 19, what do you think the children of Yasharel did or the remnant of Yahuwah? Now, if you think as a woman, what do you think? What do you think went on? How did they talk back to the Most High? How did they show him disrespect? It says, they are not humbled even unto this day. Neither have they feared nor walked in my Torah, nor in my statutes that I set before you and before your fathers. Therefore, thus says Yahuwah Sabaoth, the Elohai of Yasharel, behold, I will set my face against you for evil and cut off all Yehuda. And I will take the remnant of Yehuda that have set their faces to go into the land of Mizraim to sojourn there, and they shall be consumed and fall in the land of Mizraim. They shall even be consumed by the sword and by the famine. They shall die from the least unto the greatest by the sword and by famine, and they shall be an exhortation and astonishment and a curse and a reproach. For I will punish them that dwell in the land of Mizraim as I punish Yerushalayim by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, so that none of the remnant of Yehuda which are gone into the land of Mizraim to sojourn there shall escape or remain. They should return into the land of Yehuda to the which they have desire to return to dwell there. For none shall return, but such as shall escape. Then all the men which knew that their women had burned incense unto other Elohim, and all the women that stood by, a great multitude, even all the people that dwelt in the land of Mizraim and Pathrok, answered Yirmiyahu, saying, as for the word that you have spoken unto us in the name of Yahuwah, we will not hearken. So that's what you have to understand. When you read scripture, you have to completely understand what men have to deal with or husbands have to deal with. We have to deal with it the way the Most High Yahuwah had to deal with us. We aren't nobody special. Our issues are the same across the board, regardless of nation, regardless of race, regardless of background, social or economic. we go through the same exact trials and tribulations in our households. And this is what the Most High is fashioning us for, to be real men of Yah, is to learn how to deal with certain disrespects. If you read the scriptures, you will know how this man that has created the entire world, that have breathed life into us, that have raised us from the dust of the earth, still has to go about destroying his people just to get a shred of respect. Especially when he's been so good of showing you the blessings and the curse. So you decide to keep doing your own thing, regardless of what this man says. That's strong. To tell a prophet you know is the messenger of the Most High Yah to say that for the word that you have spoken unto us in the name of Yahuwah, we will not hearken unto you, but we will certainly do whatsoever thing goes forth out of our own mouth, to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven and to pour our drink offerings unto her, as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings and our princes in the cities of Yehuda and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then had we plenty victuals and were well and saw no evil. Now they are rationalizing their fault. They think, because we haven't been destroyed and we are still alive, we are allowed to still worship the Queen of Heaven in Mizraim. We escaped out of Jerusalem by praising the Queen of Heaven. Now, of course, this is not the Queen of Heaven like Mary, Mother of God. This is Isis. Isis at that time was the Queen of Heaven in Egypt. And of course, the Europeans transliterized that over into Semiramis. Semiramis became Mary, Mother of God. And then you have the whole Roman Catholic religion, which certain Negroes are still participating in this religion. So everything goes back to scripture. The reason why we do the things that we do, or the snares and stumbling blocks that we fall into, is from scripture. So she's still saying, or the women are saying, we will keep burning because we're alive. And because we're alive, it's because we are offering to the Queen of Heaven. Now they have turned themselves completely against the Most High, because they feel like, why is he punishing us? I'm tired of being punished. I'm tired of hearing about our forefathers being punished more than they're being blessed for following the law, sets, and commandments. That is their rationale. That was the rationale. Now, mind you, if the women are saying it, then there's no men around. There are no head of the households. So the women have raised themselves up to talk back to a prophet, where you know in scripture, they weren't even allowed to come into the tabernacle or around certain areas where the Levites were. But now somebody got balls about themselves and they're like, I'm going to talk back. I'm going to see where this is really going to get me. And it says, but since we left off to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour our drink offerings unto her, we have wanted all things and have been consumed by the sword and by the famine. So they think, since we stopped doing it and now we're in the captivity in Babel, we should go into Mizraim to escape the war, escape fear, escape the shofar, in order to regain the victuals or regain ourselves the presence that we had within, or the arrogancy that we had within ourselves when we were in our lands doing it. We want to rekindle that flame in Mizraim, because they know Egypt will coddle you to that. They wanted to be accepted. They didn't feel accepted with Yah. How many men went through relationships with women that you thought loved you? You woke up every day with this woman. You told her you loved her. She told you she loved you. And then one day, she woke up and never came back. Or she just changed. She found a new lover. Like, just like that. I guarantee you there's some men out there that went through that situation. Or even be married to a woman and then she just wakes up like, now, this ain't working. Whether she leaves you for going out more, going out with her friends, being around her family members more, or just finding somebody new she met on Tinder. This is how the Most High feels with us. That he's married to us. We in a relationship with him. And we keep showing him how good we are at cheating. How good we are at being disloyal. Never satisfied for what he has given us, but always wanting more. So we're going to go to a lover that's going to exalt us by allowing us to do whatever we want, as long as we worship and praise their gods. This is a lot of relationships with people in the world. This is what I'm understanding. People will allow this world to abuse them, pervert them, ritualistically abuse them, and don't really care as long as they know that the world allows them to do whatever they want. This world will beat you down, abuse you, take advantage of you, lie to you, spit in your face, take family members from you. What I mean by that, either by vaccine, by doctrine, by accident, by chance. And yet you forgive the world for the way it is, just because the world allows you to do what you want to do. And some people don't want to have a divorce with the world because that reason. Of being allowed to do whatever you want. That's why so many people who are trapped in religion don't see no way out. Like, why would they need to change? Most people who had a good life being in religion, why would they ever need to change to what the Most High says in Scripture? Remember that Yahushua didn't come for those who thought they were righteous. He came for those who knew they were wicked, who were unrighteous. Because he knew that once we left this world and left the wickedness in the world that we came to know and love, we were done in that role of wickedness. And now we have found something to attach our souls to that's a lot better than the world we came from. And knowing that new world, you would go hard for it. See, people who haven't really been tested in religion or tested in their life, they will never change because they are the righteous one, or they see themselves as righteous. Yirmiyahu 44:20-28. Then Yirmiyahu said unto all the people, to the men and to the women, and to all the people which have given him that answer, saying, the incense that ye burned in the cities of Yehuda and in the streets of Jerusalem, ye and your fathers, your kings and your princes, and the people of the land, did not Yahuwah remember them, and came it not into his mind? So that Yahuwah could no longer bear because of the evil of your doings, and because of the abominations which ye have committed. Therefore is your land a desolation, and an astonishment, and a curse, without an inhabitant as at this day. Because ye have burnt incense, and because ye have sinned against Yahuwah, and have not obeyed the voice of Yahuwah, nor walked in his Torah, nor in his statutes, nor in his testimonies, therefore this evil is happened unto you, as it at this day. Moreover, Yirmiyahu said unto all the people, and to all the women, hear the word of Yahuwah, all Yehuda, that are in the land of Mizraim. Thus says Yahuwah Sabaoth, the Elohai of Yasharel, saying, ye and your women have both spoken with your mouths and fulfilled with your hands, saying, we will surely perform our vows that we have vowed to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her. Ye will surely accomplish your vows and surely perform your vows. Therefore hear the word of Yahuwah. All Yehuda that dwell in the land of Mizraim, behold, I have sworn seven oaths by my great name, says Yahuwah, that my name shall no more be in the name, be in the mouth of any man of Yahuwah, of Yehuda, and all the land of Mizraim, saying, Adonai Yahuwah lives. Behold, I will watch over them for evil and not for good, and all the men of Yehuda that are in the land of Mizraim shall be consumed by the sword and by the famine until there be an end of them. Yet a small number that escape the sword shall return out of the land of Mizraim into the land of Yehuda, and all the remnant of Yehuda that are gone into the land of Mizraim to sojourn there shall know whose words shall stand mine or theirs. Now, you could take Babel or Mizraim, Egypt, America, whatever, and boil them all up into one pot. You could put it all in into one pot. One pot. And this is exactly what we will go through today. Some people leaving Babel to try to go into Mizraim or go into any other country to try to escape what's going to happen all over this world. And the Most High, who's told you that he is going to be the one that's going to bring us out of the land of the north and all the places that he have scattered us, allow him to do it. Because if you want to jump the gun, he will send after you whatever he has to send after you for you to get that point. That it is not by your own hand that you free yourself. That is by his righteousness and his name that he will bring us out in the second Exodus. And you could bring this into your home. It is not by your power, by your headship, or by your role as either your father, husband, wife, or mother. It is not by your hand that you are able to accomplish these roles, but it is by the grace and blessings of the Most High Yah. That your trials and tribulations that you do go through, that you will be succeeded in these trials and tribulations, because it is part of a prophecy and promise for you to never be afraid and for you to never go through not that much destruction and not that much correction, because of the days of the curses are over. We should be learning now not to talk back to the Most High. We should learn now not to say, okay, now that we did this, I'm going to do this other thing. Now I'm going to worship you. You know what? I'm going to worship this idol. Especially when this man has done marvelous things to the nation of Yisrael, for us to even want to attempt to leave him. I mean, what other God that you know of can stop the sun in the middle of the day while the Israelites are fighting and trying to win a war, that he held time still, as it's mentioned in the book of Joshua? Matter of fact, what other God you know has done this twice with the sun? The second time was in Yeshayahu. Especially Yeshayahu 38, 1 through 8. It says, in those days, Yeshayahu, sick unto death, and Yeshayahu, the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto him, thus says Yahuwah, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Then Yeshayahu turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto Yahuwah and said, remember now, O Yahuwah, I beseech you. Now I have walked before you in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in your sight. And Yeshayahu wept sore. Then came the word of Yahuwah, Yeshayahu, saying, go and say to Yeshayahu, thus says Yahuwah, the Elohai of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will add unto your days 15 years. So not only is the Most High holding the sun so the Israelites can finish a war, not only is he turning time back, which I'm going to get into later, he turned time back a couple of steps for a nation, and now he's given 15 years to a king who was about to die. Now, why in your mind would you, as an Israelite, will want to go pour out drinks, offerings to other gods, or build Asherah poles? That's like a different type of retarded, a different type of stupid or stiff neck. Because these stories are written down, passed down from generation to generation. And this shall be a sign unto you from Yahuwah, that Yahuwah will do this thing that he has spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the steps, which is gone down in the sundial of Ahab, 10 steps backwards. So the sun returned 10 steps by which steps it was gone down. So the Most High said, I'm going to give you a sign when I'm going to give you extra 15 years. And once I give you this sign, then you'll know exactly who I am. And he has not done that for anybody. He has not done that for any religion. For this, so the people saying, oh, God told me, God said this, God appeared in a dream, Jesus told me in a dream, I don't see it. I don't see it. I don't see ever that the Most High will ever come to a religion to show his power when he has, in scripture, shown his power to his inheritance, and they were never in a religion. The Most High says he does not change. When would he ever water down his words to fit into a religion and fit into a doctrine, especially when he knew exactly where this doctrine would eventually lead and be eventually used to trap his children so he would teach his children to stop going after foreign gods? So this whole rise of Christianity in the last days, it's a stumbling block. It's a snare. It's a trap for you. Those who are not of the nation of Yisrael, you should already be understanding this by now. There's no way in the world that the Antichrist is about to present himself at the time of Christianity about to be at its height of popularity. How is that even possible? Something is about to give. I'm not going to go into the whole Albert Pike Three World War letter of 1871 because you should already know that already. They're going to use these religions to wipe themselves out or tire themselves out to fold them into a Luciferian doctrine. This is why there are so many Freemason pastors in that pulpit in Christianity and certain denominations of Christianity. Because they're not going to talk out against Israel, for one. And two, they're not going to give you anything to prepare you for what's really coming. People complain about the Nigerians or 50-some Nigerians getting beheaded or killed, Nigerian Christians getting killed all over the continent of Africa. And there's no coverage. There's no media coverage. That's just the Most High cleaning house. Y'all don't know if those people are Hamites or Canaanites or the children of Seth or the children of Cain. Y'all don't know that. It's already bad enough there in a religion. What the Most High is doing over there is cleaning house. It's the same thing he's going to do here. Clean house. And one thing that's funny about that, the whole story about Hezekiah, is when in Yeshayahu 39:1-8, after he had recovered from not being sick and the Most High gave him 15 extra years, he must have been friends with the king of Babel because they came and check up on him, see how he was doing. And this dude allowed them to go all up and down his house. He's showing them the treasury, showing them his jewels, showing him, you know, basically his bank account. That's what he was doing. He was showing all the things that he got. And the Most High said, you know what? Hear the word of Yahuwah Sabaoth. Behold, the days come that all that is in your house and that which your fathers have laid up in store until this day shall be carried to Babel. Nothing shall be left, says Yahuwah. And of your sons that shall issue from you, which you shall beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babel. Then said Hezekiah El Yeshayahu, good is the word of Yahuwah, which you have spoken. He said, moreover, for there shall be peace and truth in my days. Like, how can you just accept that? That shows you that the Most High has eyes on everything. Now, was it a sin to allow the people from Babel to come into your house and see all of your good stuff? Was you boasting or proud about all the things that you have stored up for yourself and how your father stored up for yourselves? To the Most High, be like, you know what? Let him know that all that you just showed them is going to be robbed and taken. Because maybe the Most High knew that they came to check upon him and he and Hezekiah showing them all the stuff that he had excited them to go back like, yo, he not dead, but I think we could take him. And that might have stirred up the king of Babel to come down there and take it. Or that the Most High knew that this nation was going to sin and sin by its leader alone, even though he has been walking in truth. For to tell you that your sons that you beget They shall be eunuchs in the king's palace. But yet we still play. We do. We play. We still play with the Most High, which is crazy, especially what he has shown, what he can do, either for us or against us. I like this one in Yirmiyahu in 51, where he says, Babel, verse 7, he says, Babel has been a golden cup in Yahuwah's hand that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine. Therefore, the nations are mad. So just imagine now, Mitzrayim and Babel, these mystery religions that the inhabitants of the earth in this country keep using and thinking it's by their power that they're bringing out the Antichrist or bringing out AI or whatever they're trying to do. It's simply the Most High's cup. And he's allowing people who are choosing to be reprobates to drink from this cup. I would rather have the drink of life. I would rather have the drink of health. Why would I ever want to put myself in a trap or a stumbling block for me to drink of the cup that Yahuwah will be handing out to other nations for destruction? It's like he's watching them drink it, like, yeah, just take a couple more sips. Just take a couple more sips. You know, just a couple more days or a couple more years. I'm about to come down. Just keep drinking, though. Babel is suddenly fallen and destroyed. Howl for her. Take balm for her pain. If it be so, she may be healed. We would have healed Babel, but she is not healed. Forsake her and let us go everyone into his own country, for her judgment reaches unto heaven and is lifted up even to the skies. Yahuwah has brought forth our righteousness. Come and let us declare in Zion the work of Yahuwah Elohanu. Make bright the arrows, gather the shields. Yahuwah has raised up the Ruach of the kings of Madai, for his device is against Babel to destroy it. And because it is the vengeance of Yahuwah, the vengeance of his temple. So mind you, the Most High sent Babel into Jerusalem to trash it so he could put his people into captivity for not obeying his law, statutes, commandments. But on the other hand of that is I'm going to punish him for me telling you what to do, and you still did it. You could have been like, nah, I'm not going. I'm not going into Jerusalem. But they must have went in there and went ham harder than they ever wanted to go and destroying his temple. And he's like, all right, now I'm going to show you vengeance. Now I'm going to show you who's really running this show. That's why I said, rather you might as well just be a puppet for Yah rather than be a puppet for the world. Because you know all that is set up for you to fall or be a astonishment, a curse, and a proverb, and a mockery or a laughing stock, because you choose not to be used in a way that the Most High could exalt you and provide for you. Thus says Yahuwah Sabaoth, the children, I'm on Yirmiyahu 50, verse 33 to 38. Thus says Yahuwah Sabaoth, the children of Yasharel and the children of Yehuda were oppressed together, and all that took them captives held them fast. They refused to let them go. It's going to be like that for the second Exodus. They're not going to want to let us go because they don't want to look like they lost. If you know anything about America and who's running it, they do not want to look like they lost. Just like when these celebrities fall or make mistakes or get caught, they'll never be at a loss. It's always for a ritual. It's always for a show. They will never look like they lost. In reality, on paper, they may look, it may say a loss on the column on paper, but in reality, they fix it in a way that they never lose. So just imagine when pride is at its height. Arrogancy is at its height. Haughty-mindedness is at its height. And the Most High said, I'm going to plead to them for my people and be like, nope. Just like the first Exodus, where he got to harden somebody's heart just for these plagues to come back out. Their Redeemer is strong. Yahuwah Sabaoth is his name. He shall thoroughly plead their cause that he may give rest to the land and disquiet the inhabitants of Babel. A sword is upon the Chasidim, says Yahuwah, and upon the inhabitants of Babel, and upon her princes, and upon her wise men. A sword is upon the liars, and they shall dote. A sword is upon her mighty men, and they shall be dismayed. A sword is upon the liars. That's your president, that's your politicians, that's your government, and that's your idols, or your podcasting idols. Liars. They're not telling you the real truth, even though they've shown you through symbolism. They're not saying it with their mouths. And you are falling for them. So how good are you to receive promises and blessings but follow after liars and follow after religion? Since when did the Most High lower the bar for that? Oh, just because we in the age of AI and things are moving so fast and we have technology, we have advancement in certain industries. We have cell phones. What is it that you thought that anything that we've had in this generation, the Most High covets? Like he can't blow it all away with one breath or one blow of his nostrils. What makes you think he would lower his bar for this generation? I don't see him doing it because it would truly undermine the sacrifices that most of the prophets had to go through to prove their faith. And not just the prophets and the apostles, but the stories that you read about in the book of Maccabees. Especially when it comes to eating swine or eating bacon, eating pig, eating pork, that how would the Most High lower his standards of unclean foods when a whole family of one mother and her sons had to be tortured in a big pot or a cauldron until they ate pork, which they never did. So they all got their limbs cut off, their tongues cut out, boiling on a pot pan along with their mother, to that all of a sudden don't mean nothing. That was what they did was in vain to stand up for the Torah. How do you think the Most High has lowered his standards of an offering like that to be just don't matter no more? How do you really truly believe that? Because Paul said, anything that's prayed for or blessed can be eaten. After people have been stoned for eating pork, after people have been tortured for eating pork, or just any type of sin. How is the Most High lowering his bar in this generation? A sword is upon their horses and upon their chariots and upon all the mingled people that are in the midst of her, and they shall become as women. A sword is upon her treasures, and they shall be robbed. A drought is upon her waters, and they shall be dried up. For it is the land of graven images, and they are mad upon their idols. Just like this country is mad upon their idols. It's coming to a point where we will be just like Enoch. We'll come out to edify, to help, and teach. But at the end of the day, we will find ourselves recluding back into our own worlds. Either you're not posting as much, either you're not talking as much, either you're distancing yourself away from certain people. That's what it's going to take. Because it has to have, or it has to be, a destructive path for people to truly see that they're walking in the broad way. You would have to see landmines and things go off for people to actually know. See, right now, people aren't understanding that because nothing is happening to them in their lives. Like, yeah, we get hyperinflation, Bitcoin going up and down. With them, that's just them stealing money. But it's nothing hard hitting. There's nothing. It's like people not losing their jobs fast enough or being evicted for it to be mass hysteria yet. But it's coming. Soon as they get their hands on all of media, so you can't say anything against it or you can't expose it, Once they do that, then they'll turn everything off and allow people to be in the dark with it all. Because they have to mimic prophecy, right? They have to mimic some of these 3 days of darkness. They have to make you believe that the Messiah is coming. Their Messiah is coming. So they have to set it up the same way it's mentioned in Scripture or parts of Scripture. So, you know, this grid will go dark for a time. You know that's coming. But it will turn back on. Now, will it turn back on under digital currency or will it turn back on under debt fiat currency? You already know the answer to that. If they're already finagling with the Bitcoin market with this $19 billion loss that they had, and all of a sudden the apps weren't, like Coinbase weren't working, that's them stealing the money before they do exactly what they're going to do, which is going to trip Bitcoin. They're going to trip the digital currency where you lose hope in it, and they're going to offer you, like the Hegelian dialectic, they're going to offer you their digital coin. It's all right, this is what's going to save you. And people who are already attached to Bitcoin are already going to move over to that digital coin. But once they do that, that means you can no longer accept debt fiat currency. So, of course, there's going to be a run on the banks because you don't know what's going to happen. If you're not familiar with Bitcoin, you're going to assume that your money is no good. So you're going to go to the banks and make a run and then drag all that money out. And they're going to tell you, hey, we ain't accepting cash anymore. This is the new system. And no, you can't have it transferred. Just like, you know, when you go to Cuba and you get stuck with Cuba money and you try to exchange it in America, they don't even accept it. I don't know if you knew that or not. They don't accept Cuban money in this country to transfer it over to American money. And that's exactly what may happen when this system goes dark or when this system goes in the red. And who do y'all think are going to be the first people to get blamed? Since they've been so easily targeted to the highest positions in the government and highest positions in the financial market and financial positions in the government, who you think is going to be to blame? And once they find out people blaming them, that's when they'll turn everything else off. That's when AI will start coming out because they're already prepared for this extinction level event of middle to lower income housing families to either lose jobs or just go crazy. It should be easy because all you gotta do is know what type of people you can easily fool and spoil. Like black families, they care about money, but they've been broke for so long and trodden down for so long, they can take any type of abuse. But certain families have had, especially white families or any families that came from another country into this country and have been successful, they are the ones that are going to be easily funneled into this mark because they have never known what it's felt like to struggle in this country or struggle anywhere. They have never been looked at as the outsiders. They've never been trodden down. They've never been bullwhipped. They've never been pulled apart by horses. They don't have that history. So assimilating into this country means it's like a sunken cost fallacy is what they call it. That they're already invested in this country and they definitely don't want to be poor. So they'll take whatever the government has for them. So if I were you, I'll start preparing. This has to happen within the next 4 or 5 years. I mean, if Israel have already shown you through these concerts, these cringy concerts that they're putting on, and all these psyops and all these rituals, they're doing this in the first year of Donald Trump's presidency. The first year. Just imagine what the next 3 years are going to be like. If they're already setting up these little ADL banners and all these public schools about not teaching hate or not speaking hate against Jews, they are already prepared for the backlash that's coming when we know exactly why everything's happening the way it's happening. All of this is a trap. Right now, what they're doing, all of this is a trap. Right now, they're just making the spider web. That's all they're doing. They're making the web around everything. And anybody that's in the middle of this web is getting closed up and being fed to the beast. Now, do not say nothing online if you believe you have something to lose. You better make sure you are spiritually grounded. You better make sure you're doing all that you can to separate yourself from this world and make yourself more acceptable as an offering for Yah. Allow him to use you to shame the enemy. Because obviously they can't do anything harshly to us until the last days when Satan's coming down and going to war with the remnant that guard the commandments. That's not that time yet. We still haven't seen the Antichrist. I have my bets on, for some reason, Jared Kushner. He's just an odd individual. Even when he tries to talk and be smiling, his face is only acceptable when he's not speaking. But anytime he talks, like, it hurts his face to talk. But I thought when he was showing himself in the first presidency of Donald Trump's that he was the Antichrist. I don't know who they would have to come that really should be like, oh, let me go follow him. Like, it has to be a guy that's like really attractive, but very like popular. Like, I don't know what that guy would look like. I mean, obviously, it also says that the Antichrist wouldn't want women, so it can't be Jared Kushner, but I was always hoping that that was like a lavender marriage and he was really a fruit. But it's going to be interesting in the next 3 or 4 years. They're already making movies like Jim Caviezel. After doing The Passion of the Christ, now he's playing King Herod in one of these Angel Studio films. And now they're making another movie, another whitewashed movie about Yahushua, or of course Jesus Christ, fleeing into Egypt while Herod was hunting for him, and of course killing the Israelite children in Yehud, or Judea, to try to find which baby it was that was going to overthrow him. So that's them getting ready to prepare again for the Antichrist. And of course, we got the movie Dune. That installment comes out in, I think, fall or winter of 2026. So it's all on pace. It's all on pace to be shown in the next 4 to 5 years what's really going down. So don't overextend yourself. If you're in that Bitcoin market or any market, do not overextend yourself, because you do not want to be caught owing anything, because you don't know where this could go when you are trapped in owing the IRS or owning the bank or owning anybody anything. Because the first thing I'm pretty sure they do is going to go through your whole internet history and see what you believe, see what you've been doing. Of course, then the social credit score is going to drop down out of that. I'm telling you, they're going to set this country up where you're not going to be able to have the access to do certain things because of all of this is going down. And you know, from the people who like the boy that cried wolf, you know they like to complain and cry and whine and weep anytime somebody mentions them or a truth about them. So they want this whole social credit score thing to happen expeditiously, so they know exactly who's saying what. Wasn't there a band called Massive Attack that they had a concert and they was doing a song and they used the audience to show off this AI digital reading system. And people were standing there in front of the screen, like nodding their heads while their faces being read by AI. Like, I'm telling you, like, people are gone, far gone. Just like the people over at Egypt that went to, I think his name is Amina, whatever his name was. He did a concert in front of the pyramids. The music was horrible. It's just like trance electronic music. And these people are standing there with their phones in their hands while they're waiting for this AI robot with two little stud horns on the top of his head. And they just standing there listening to the music with their phones out, watching this computer-generated robot move through the screen. And in the background, when they're flashing the pyramids and not flashing them, you see the sigil of Lucifer and also the square and compass. Like, people do not understand that they're being brainwashed. But this is also the cup that the Most High is allowing people to drink from. And when he says He has made the world to come for few and this world for many. That means there is going to be a lot of people that's going to drench these grounds with their blood because they choose not to worship and praise Yahuwah Elohaka. After what I just read to you, what he did in Mizraim and what he's going to do to Babel, it could be the same America, double that. So the Most High is saying, do not retreat into your comfort zone. Do not retreat in what you've been knowing to do when you're in fear or when you don't want to go through a war or you want to go through trials and tribulations. Do not go to that place. Do not go to your Mizraim. Some of that could be your club. It could be your ex. It could be whatever your vice is. That's your Mizraim. When he says don't go back there again and you go back there, you know exactly what's going to follow you. Especially when you've known his goodness and you've known his blessings. Do not be like the women in scripture. Matter of fact, do not be like the nation of Yasharel. Emotionally or spiritually at that time. Because the Most High, even though he's worthy to be praised and merciful and showing us grace, he's not going to sit still forever while we disrespect him to his face.